Before I preach this morning, I really would like us to take a few minutes of quiet and prayer for, you know, the people in Egypt and the horrendous terror attack that happened at a mosque on Friday. There simply are no words, at least I can't find words for people who set off a bomb and then have people with automatic weapons outside so as folks run for their lives, they actually run into a hail of bullets. I don't understand that. And my heart grieves for them, for the people, what, 305 now and 128 injured, and it's just evil. So let's pray. God, again, our world is shocked by the meanness and terror that we as human beings can inflict on other human beings. I pray for that town which is in utter grief right now. I pray for the families that are ripped apart by this terrorist attacks, men, women, children, senselessly gunned down, innocent people. God, I don't even know really how to pray. I just pray that you would bring comfort to those families, that you would bring peace to that country, that militants, when found, would be brought to justice. And I pray for myself and millions of others who just wonder how this can keep happening. So I pray that you would meet us in our questions and in our hurt for these people who are hurt. Would you send your blessing, Lord God? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We can be a sad lot sometimes as people. Why we need a Savior. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for your prayers. I'm somewhere between here and Korea, not quite sure quite where I am. Those who have done business travel like this understand, and God's good. Thank you for your prayers. It was, just a God-blessed opportunity. Among some really tremendous people, and a little glimpse of a country I had no understanding of from a real kind of get-to-know-you level. And I'd have loved to have spent more time on the, you know, fun visiting side of things, but business travel isn't like that. But I'm back here. Hallelujah. And I'm thrilled to be back with my family, and I have a question for you. How you doing? Seriously. I mean, how's your life right now? You know, are you fairly satisfied and okay with your life? I mean, I'm not asking you if it's perfect, and by the way, if it is right now, great, I'm all happy for you, but are you feeling pretty satisfied? I mean, I suspect for most of us here, life's okay. It's pretty comfortable. You know, scale of 1 to 10, 6, 7, 8, maybe, I don't know. The reason I want you thinking about that is because we're going to meet a man who was probably pretty comfortable with his life too. Things are going fairly well for this guy. There are certain things in his life that are actually going like mega well, and there are others not so much. Pretty much a typical life. But I think we have a lot to learn from this man, and Luke thinks we have a lot to learn from this man because Luke put this story in his gospel. He's the only one to tell us this story. The man's name is Zacchaeus, and I would like to introduce you to Zach. So we're going to read through his account in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We're going to read through it, and we're going to dig into it a little bit. If you have your own Bible, I really encourage you to take it out. Sometimes I wonder with the screens if we are kind of forgetting what a Bible looks like, what it feels like, where you find the books of the Bible. But it'll still be on the screen, so you can follow along there, or you can grab a pew Bible in front of you if you didn't bring your own. Meet Zacchaeus, Luke 19. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Remember, he's on the way to Jerusalem. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was short. He could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now we want to pause there for a bit, because Luke's a master storyteller, and he's actually told us quite a bit about Zacchaeus in that little paragraph. First of all, Zacchaeus is most assuredly a Jew. It's a Jewish name that he carries. Secondly, Zacchaeus is called chief tax collector. And it likely means he's over all the tax collectors in that region, but I have to say likely because we can't be certain. See, Luke created a word to describe this man. It is used nowhere else in the ancient world ever. It is the only time it is used in any Greek writing. And it's the combination of two words. The first word means chief or like first among others. And the other word is tax collector. So he's probably more like the chief tax collector of tax collectors. We can't really say he's a chief tax collector because that name is not used ever again of anyone else that we know of in the ancient world. It's likely that he is the chief of all tax collectors in that region. And given the fact that Jericho was a major crossing of the Jordan River, and it was on a major route up to Jerusalem, this is like prime real estate for the tax franchise. I mean, anyone bringing anything into Israel is going to get taxed. And somehow, this dude is on the top of the heap, whatever the highest point is, and he gets a cut of everything that comes in. I mean, it is a pretty sweet position if you want to make money. Now, thirdly, we're told he's wealthy. Now, the interesting thing is this is pretty redundant. I mean, if you are the head tax collector of all tax collectors in the region, why does Luke have to tell you he's wealthy? Well, he doesn't have to. What he's doing is simply emphasizing the fact that this dude has gobs of money. In an ancient world where very few people had gobs of money, he's one who's got it. He has it made. I like the way Eugene Peterson translates verse 2. He says, there was a man there, his name was Zacchaeus, the head tax man and quite rich. I mean, that's Zacchaeus. Financially, He's set for life. Now we also learn a few other things. Zacchaeus is short. He is the Danny DeVito of his world, all 4'10" of him. Now we don't really know how tall he is, but he is a little guy. But he's also a social outcast. He is a wealthy nobody, at least in the eyes of the other Jews. Why do I say that? Well, I want you to think about this situation. I mean, this dude has more money likely than anyone in the town, and yet the crowd will not part for him so he can see the parade going by. I mean, it's almost like this crowd is intentionally saying, we're not giving you any space, buddy. We are blocking you out because we don't recognize you. To us, you are a nobody. Now, what does he do? He's a pretty creative guy. He wants to see this Jesus person. So he runs ahead and he climbs into a sycamore fig tree. Now there's a granddaddy sycamore fig tree. Okay. I don't know that the one by the road in Jericho was quite that big, but look at these people and look at the size of that tree. It's a tree where the branches are really low to the ground and they come up and they go out horizontally. So it's very easy to climb. It's pretty safe to climb. Go to the next picture. Here's another one. Now I want to ask you a question. If you were sitting on a branch in that tree, do you think you could be seen? No. See, Zacchaeus wasn't trying to go on this big outpost where everyone would see him looking for Jesus. He knows that the crowds aren't interested in him. He's trying to find a way to see Jesus in the least conspicuous way possible. Amen. He doesn't really want to meet Jesus. He just wants to see this traveling rabbi who's making such a stir. Remember the last time I preached the healing of the man born blind, I said, you know, the crowd was so big that it made a ruckus so loud, so unusual that a blind person said, hey, what's going on here? I mean, Jesus was a traveling road show and Zacchaeus just wanted in. He wanted a glimpse at this guy who's creating a stir and he wanted to do it in a way that nobody would know. He's checking out Jesus. Zacchaeus could not have imagined what's going to happen. Now, before we get there, let me ask a question. Do you like interruptions?
No.
Thank you, Tommy. I'm not a big fan either. And I don't like interruptions, particularly when life is going fairly well. You know, when life's going fairly well, I just kind of want it to stay on cruise control. You know, just stay steady. I'm pretty comfortable there. I don't want interruptions because an interruption means a change of some kind. Might be good, but it might not be good. And I just as soon keep life comfortable. Now, I'm going to make a little leap here and say I'm not an outlier on that. That most of us would just as soon prefer life to be comfortable. And I don't think I'm overreading it, but I'm suspicious that that's probably what Zacchaeus was like. I want to peek through the leaves. I want to see a little bit of this Jesus guy, but that's enough for me. I just want to check him out. Maybe being disliked was a problem for him. But probably laughed about it all the way to the bank when he threw his parties and enjoyed his house and his finery. But whatever life was like, he was in for a surprise. Because Luke continues the story. When Jesus reached the spot, meaning by this sycamore tree, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him, Jesus, gladly. And that was a turn of events that will change his life forever. And by the way, this is one of the few stories in the Gospels where Jesus is just out and out the initiator. And it's the only one I can think of where Jesus calls someone unsuspecting out of the crowd. And what does he say? I want to go to your house. I don't just want to go for dinner. I want to go and stay at your house. In Middle Eastern culture, says that means I want to get to know you. I want to begin to relate with you. We'll be reminded at the end of this account that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And he found one in Zacchaeus. See, Zacchaeus wasn't looking for Jesus other than a safe peek at this guy going by. He was just checking out this traveling rabbi, but he was a safe distance away in an invisible blind where he could stay to himself until Jesus looked up and called him down. How Jesus knew his name, we don't know. God, the Holy Spirit, people talking about Zacchaeus, we don't know. But he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come on down, because I'm going to your house. Jesus interrupted his life and Jesus dined with him. And as I said, that meant he had fellowship with Zacchaeus. Now the story fast forwards at this point, because you have to notice the change of tense in the verbs. It says, all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. So the story has been collapsed by the storyteller, and we're probably already at Zacchaeus' house by this time. And I just wish we knew what Jesus said to him along the way. But Luke doesn't tell us that. But whatever it was, it changed his life. And he becomes a follower of Jesus. And proof of that happens at the meal. When Zacchaeus stood and made his pronouncement. Again, notice. And Zacchaeus stood up. That means he was sitting or lying down, right? I mean, this isn't the instant he jumped out of the tree. This is now at the table, probably. He stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone of anything, I will pay it back four times. And the reading behind that is, yeah, I know I've cheated some people, and I will pay them back four times. I mean, this guy is making a drastic change of life. First of all, he's writing a check, 50%, giving it to the poor, gone. And that has to affect you somehow. And then he's choosing to pay back four times when the Levitical law said that if you cheated someone, you might add 10 or 20% to it. He's giving anyone he cheated four times back. I mean, he was giving money away like crazy. Jesus certainly interrupted his life. Zacchaeus is a different person. Amen. A very different person. The story ends with a final word by Jesus. If you're not sure there's a salvation piece that happens here, Jesus makes it very clear. Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. Folks, I believe Jesus wants to interrupt our lives. Yeah, I'll let that sit for a minute. I believe the story of Zacchaeus is meant to cause us to think, Jesus, do you want to interrupt my life too? I think there's first the interruption of saving faith. I mean, I wish I knew what words Jesus used to talk this man into an understanding that he was loved by God, that he could be forgiven by God, and that he could become a follower of Jesus in however long it took to walk to his house and prepare the meal. But Luke doesn't tell us that. But I wonder if some of us here aren't a little bit like Zacchaeus. We're checking Jesus out, but kind of from a safe distance. We kind of want to hide in the blinds of the sycamore fig tree. We want to keep a low profile. We'll come to worship, we'll listen, we'll think, but we're just going to leave and stay the same. I wish I had the great words Jesus had to talk to you and explain to you what a difference having Jesus as a part of your life can make. I know he can. I know he will. But if you want to stay a safe distance away, you can insulate yourself from the real message of Jesus. But if you're willing to take that step of faith and enter relationship with him, he will come in. He will change your life, but it'll be for the better. Notice Zacchaeus jumps out of the tree with joy, and then he stands up and makes this proclamation, not because he is filled with guilt about what he's got to do, but it's like, God, I get to do this. I have more money than I can possibly use. I'm going to just help people because I don't need it all. That was a change of heart. It wasn't because he's compulsive or was guilted into giving it. It was because, God, you loved me. You forgave me. You came into my home, and I just want to do something for somebody else. And if you've been hanging around church and kind of sticking your foot in but not wanting to get too close, I say, get close. Talk to Jesus. Admit you've made mistakes and let him forgive you. Maybe because I knew where I was going in this message, the songs Ange had us sing and the prayer Beth had us pray, God speaking to some people saying, come home, give your life to me. Take that step of faith and say yes to Jesus. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a while, but we'll have prayer teams at the doors. And if that's you, if you've been around church, but you've not really had that connection with Jesus, then talk to the prayer teams. Let them pray for you. Let them share with you what it means to have Jesus. Send me an email and we'll get coffee this week and I'll talk to you. Just let Jesus interrupt your life. Two slides. Next one. But I think there's a second interruption. It's the interruption of confirming action. See, I think it's easy for us as church people, as people who have said yes to Jesus, to become pretty comfortable in our present lives. You know, God, we're good enough. We've confessed to you, and now really life is about my career and my family and my this and my that. And we become pretty comfortable in that place of good enough. And I think Zacchaeus' actions, his confirming action of giving this money away, is a challenge to us. See, maybe you are a Jesus follower, and maybe you are a church member, but you've gone so far with Jesus and you say that, okay, God, I can handle that. But you're really not interested in letting God interrupt you. See, maybe the interruption God wants for you is the interruption that hit Zacchaeus. And he says, you know, you really have bankrolled enough dough. And it's time to start liberally giving it away. But you know, that means I might have to change my lifestyle a little bit. Or at least what I anticipate it should be like. And I'm not throwing the guilt deal out there. This is not about guilt at all. This is about Jesus saying, hey, maybe there's a step for you to take. Maybe it's time to really get involved in some kind of action for Jesus. You go to World Vision once a month, maybe just even serving one Saturday a month, saying, hey, I will give up a day. I normally play, I normally rest, I normally whatever, and I will serve God in that way. Maybe you take another ministry that we support here or that you know of. I mean, it doesn't have to be one of ours. Some ministry that serves Jesus. I see that in the hallway, the youth and some Young Life people went to a thing called Baskets from Heaven. That was a ministry that was created by the Dedell family. Financial planners, good folk. And every Christmas, Thanksgiving, they create these baskets from heaven that they give away. And there's a lot of them. And they do that because their heart was interrupted one day and they decided that's something they can do. I mean, I don't know how God wants to interrupt your life. You know, I had God knock this summer. Hey, how would you like to go teach in Korea? That was fun. I mean, there were elements that were fun, but man, that was way out of my zone. You know, 14 hours in a coach seat, not a fun deal, you know? Being in a group where if the interpreter isn't speaking to me, I know nothing. I mean, I'm actually glad that I had that experience because it was really helpful for me to be the minority in a situation. I mean, they were loving, they were kind, but you know, when you're a minority of any kind, you feel uncomfortable. When do I take off my shoes? When do I not? You know, I mean, it's cultural stuff, but I don't want to offend them. And when minorities come in this place, they face all of those feelings as they look around at the majority white faces. I'm glad I went for that interruption, if nothing else. I mean, I could go on and on. I don't know how God wants to interrupt your life. Maybe you have a hobby that God says, you know, it's time to put that on the shelf for a while because I have other things you can use that time for. I don't know. It's funny, I was thinking about that. When my kids were growing up and they were little, I played golf. Not well and not often. Once a week. But I realized that I should put that on the back burner for the sake of my kids. Because that was a chunk of time when I could have been home that I wasn't home. And I thought, especially my younger kids needed that. As I was thinking about this message, I wondered, dogs, would I have given that up for Jesus if he said, how about taking those X number of hours and, you know, give out food at the soup pantry? I don't know that I can say yes to that, that I would have done that. So I don't know where God wants to interrupt your life if you're a believer, But you know, James tells us faith without works is dead. What are you doing for Jesus? I have a challenge for you. A little over 200 years ago, or thereabout, There was a man by the name of William Carey. At the age of 17, he went to a prayer meeting and God convicted him and he became a believer. He began to really pour himself into knowing Jesus. Time goes by and he's growing in his faith. He's a cobbler. And Jesus, like, is really real to him, and he's in this vicinity of London, and so all sorts of people are coming into his shop to get their shoes fixed. And he strikes up a conversation with them. And so he meets a person from India. And he says, you know, how are you? They have the regular conversation. And he says, how many, you know, of your people live back in your country? Oh, I don't know. 80 million, 100 million, whatever the answer. And William Carey began to make a map of the world. And he would put, like, you know, Indians, people from India, 100 million. He had some people come in and one of them were Muslims. And, you know, they'd make up a conversation. He'd say, hey, how many people, you know, of your culture are back where you live? 80 million. And he began making this map of the world and just thinking about all these people who didn't know Jesus, didn't have anyone in their culture who could tell them about Jesus. He does this for a whole number of years and he gets really involved in his church, and then they make him like the assistant pastor at a church, and he's still a cobbler, but then they make him a pastor at his church. And as he's studying the Bible, he is getting crazy convicted by Matthew 28. Therefore, go into all world. Wrong text. You know, all authority on heaven and earth were given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And he keeps saying, isn't God telling us to go into all the nations? But you need to understand, the world at his time read the Bible differently than they did. And the basic philosophy of the church at the time was, well, they called the world, you were either Christians or heathens. Forgive that language if it's uncomfortable, but they said, basically, heathens be damned. If God wants to save them, God will do it. And they felt no compulsion to share the gospel at all. And this was bugging him. And he began to argue with people about it. Then when he was about 33 years old, he wrote a booklet that literally changed the world. It's called An Inquiry into the Deliberate Affections to Convey the Gospel to the Heathen. And that booklet created the mission movement that we are still in to this day. And about a year after he wrote the booklet, he formed a mission society with four other friends. And then a year later, he volunteered to be the first missionary to leave under the auspices of that mission organization. See, he not only had this revolutionary interruption that God wanted to touch the world for Jesus, but he said, I'll go and do it. And he became a prolific missionary, translating the gospel into languages, changing cultures. It is an incredible life. But it began because he was a man who was willing to say, next slide, God, would you interrupt my life? So here's my challenge, that each one of us in this room pray that prayer every day until New Year's Eve. And let's see what kind of resolutions God puts on our mind for 2018 if we have earnestly been praying that prayer for a month. See, I think that's the message of Zacchaeus. God, interrupt our lives. Don't let us be satisfied with comfortable. Amen. Let's pray. God, I think my prayer is simply that you would interrupt my life and that you would interrupt each of our lives for the sake of loving you and for the sake of your kingdom. pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.